So as we record this episode of Life Talks, the pandemic restrictions are falling like crazy. They are absolutely disappearing. Mask mandates are a thing of the past. That which was essential for your life is now being forgotten in rapidity. And hopefully, of course, we've said this before, hopefully the world is going to resume some sense of normalcy. And yet, here is a harsh but true reality. Many people are so exhausted by the last 2 years that they're in a state of apathy, or as Pastor Ben likes to say, funk. So that's going to be our topic for this these next several episodes. How do you identify? How do you deal with? How do you get out of? How do you prevent being in a spiritual funk? Spiritual apathy, its causes and cures. So my name is Dan. I'm with Ben. We're the teaching pastors at Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina.
And that was a great introduction, Dan, but I have a quick question for you. I'm about to side rail this conversation
right off the bat. This will be fun.
Okay, so I went out to lunch with one of our staff pastors and, you know, doing some, had a ministry conversation, and we went to El Toro, which is, you know, right across the street here. And as we're leaving, there's about a dozen older women in red overcoats, red jackets, and they have purple hats on.
Yes, the Purple Hat Club.
I wanted to know if you knew what it was, because Brad and I were like, what is going on
here?
There's
actually two of them. There's a Red Hat Club and a Purple Hat Club. And they're a bunch of
Is this like the Matrix? Take the red hat or the purple hat? I mean,
no, I've seen them for years. I'm serious. You've never seen them before?
I've never seen it. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know if there was a cult starting in Cornelius. And so
I walk in,
I'm like, I guarantee you someone who's more seasoned in life knows what this is, because it was a bunch of old women.
That hurts.
Listen, if I would have asked you, if you had known what that was, would you have known what that was?
Yes.
He knew. So, yeah.
But it's a Southern thing. That's what I found out. It's a Southern thing, right?
Well, I've lived in the South for 40 years.
We have two ladies here on staff who, I was like, I'm going to ask them, the two Susans. And I'm like, hey, do you guys know?
Is, do you consider them elderly like you consider
I didn't say elderly.
Yeah,
I said mature.
Oh,
I was very careful with I called
them. Okay, if
we're
going to be chasing squirrels right now, by the way, how do you say M-A-T-U-R-E?
M-A-T-U-mature.
No, it's mature. We have this conversation in my life group every week, and your son leads it. Every time I correctly pronounce the word mature, he says, no, it's mature. So now
mature.
I know where he gets it.
Mature.
You know, we really just need to start this episode.
No, we're going to just keep going.
All right, we are chasing
because
squirrels
here's what happens.
Like a couple of rabid dogs.
You want to follow Jesus, but you get distracted. You get sidetracked, and this is exactly what happens in our spiritual life. So see how I worked that back in?
Yeah, it didn't work because we're talking about apathy, not distraction. However, nice try, Benjamin.
Yeah.
So, no, but I cannot tell you, man, how many times, I mean, this morning, twice, conversations with or about pastors who are like, I'm so exhausted.
Yeah.
If I don't take some time off, I'm going to quit, or I'm going to do something else, or you know. And if pastors are feeling that way, then I got to assume there's a lot of it. We know volunteerism is way off.
I have seen so many articles in the blogosphere, in the spiritual realm, church, whether it's church related or just gospel related, you know, websites and people writing about this growing spiritual malaise that just seems to be hovering over people. And people seem to be not doing well. They're not growing the way that they want. And that's one of the reasons why we're doing the spiritual growth initiative at our church with the cross and leading up to Easter, the 40 days of intense studying and learning and growing, and because we need those kinds of things. But the reality is, the reason I thought it was good to talk about is this is a part of life. You have felt it. I have felt like we have been places where we're like, oh, I just feel like, I don't feel like reading my Bible. I don't feel like praying. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a very famous book that John Piper wrote. One of his most famous ones was Desiring God. It's kind of put his name on the map in the Christian world. But a few years later, he wrote a book, When I Don't Desire God. It wasn't as popular.
I don't even remember hearing that.
But he wrote a book called When I Don't Desire God. And the whole idea was that there are moments when where the feelings are not there. We feel like I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like reading my Bible. I don't feel like praying. I just feel distant from God. I feel blah. Mm-hmm. And if we don't really understand what's going on in those moments, we're going to stay there. And sometimes we can stay there for a really long time. And so that's why I think it's important to have this conversation, because you might be listening to this today. You know, someone who's listening to this might be saying, that's exactly how I feel.
So let's begin by trying to define some terms and so forth, because, I mean, we've used the word, I prefer apathy, you've used the word funk, which is easier perhaps to relate to. Some might call it lethargy. Some of it might call it being discouraged. Mm-hmm. Back in the old day, we might have called it being backslidden.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So help us define.
I've got three shades of what I call the funk. Okay.
Three shades of funk.
Three shades
by
of
Ben
funk.
Rudolph. Sounds like a and horrible so, movie.
This is not the smell of junior high boys either. Three shades of funk. So here's what I think. You have to, number one, diagnose the problem. What am I really feeling or not feeling? And here's the three categories I would give you: complacency, ambivalence, and indifference. Okay? Complacency, ambivalence, and indifference. With complacency, I think that's kind of the top level. It's like, I should do this, but I just don't do it. It's almost more of a spiritual laziness. Mm-hmm. But there's a complacency that you have. But you still feel like, I should be doing these kinds of things, but I just don't do these things because I'm just kind of lazy, or I just got in a routine and I just haven't been doing it. So mm-hmm. complacency is one of those things. The next layer down, I think, is what I would call ambivalence. Ambivalence is, I do want to do it, but I don't want to do it. So it's a little bit deeper than complacency, in that in complacency you still think like, yeah, I should do this kind of thing, but I don't. And these kind of, in this level, it's I don't want to do it. Mm. So you just feel kind of stuck because I know I should do it, but I don't feel like doing it. I don't want to do it. Mm. And so that's the second level. And then the third level, which I think is probably the most dangerous place to be spiritually, is indifference. Indifference means I don't feel anything. Mm. I don't care if I miss church. I don't care if I read my Bible. I don't care if I meet together with other believers. I don't care if I pray. I just, it's this indifference that we feel towards God and towards the things of God. And so when I think about this, what encompasses this entire category of being in a spiritual funk, I would say there are layers, and you have to be the one that diagnoses, man, where am I really at right now? And not that there can't be it's not like you have to keep rising up the layers. I just think sometimes the longer we're in these things, we can creep down into what feels like a pit in a way, and where we just stop caring about everything. And that's really dangerous.
Yeah. As we were kind of prepping for this on our own earlier this morning, I was trying to think of some biblical examples of people who might have gotten into this state of apathy.
Yeah.
You know, if I was thinking of an individual, I think I'm thinking of Elijah.
Yeah.
After he kind of went through this time of huge spiritual, you know, interestingly, the great victory that happened on Mount Carmel was followed by great opposition.
Absolutely.
by Jezebel.
Yes.
And then followed by great depression, apathy.
Yes.
And just a general malaise and funk that the Lord graciously brought him out.
Yes.
He began graciously, but then eventually he was going to kick his tail.
Yeah. Another person on the flip side of that, after a great failure, would have been Peter.
Yeah.
Because after Peter's denial, what does he do? He goes back to Galilee and goes back to fishing.
Yeah, he says, where am I going? I'm going to fishing.
I mean, to him, it was almost like, I'm going to forget about the last 3 years. I have failed miserably, and I'm just going to go fishing because that's the only thing I know to do.
Back to my original pattern.
Yes, yeah.
When we read in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, where Jesus is addressing almost cultural. You've got it already open.
Yeah. The Church of Laodicea.
The Laodicean church was, you know, neither hot nor cold, mm-hmm. lukewarm. So I think we have to consider this both from a personal level and also more or less a corporate level among the redeemed, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's so important to understand that this is a natural flow of life. Mm. And sometimes when people are in these kind of funks, they just beat themselves up. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm just the worst. And that's not going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think it's really important that you don't turn anger and contempt towards yourself. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't want to change, and it doesn't mean that you need to honestly look at yourself and be like, these are the choices I'm here because of the choices I made. So I think the two mistakes you can make when you're in this that will prolong it is, number one, you just hold yourself in contempt and you beat yourself up. Oh, I should know better. I've been a believer for this long. And the second other problem would be just a general excuses. Well, I wouldn't be this way if it wasn't for Pastor so-and-so, if it wasn't for this person who offended me, or, you know, you blame everybody else for your problems, right? Mm-hmm. So on one hand, you can just blame yourself in such a way that you paralyze yourself because you beat yourself up, and it's almost like, I'm just going to keep punishing myself. You know what I mean? And the other one is, I'm not really going to address it because I'm here because of them. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones who did this to me, and I just, you know, this is a sidebar, Dan. Okay, I'm getting another sidebar.
This boy's chasing some squirrels today.
I've noticed, you know, I'm a huge podcast listener, and I have noticed recently how many podcasts are coming out in the spiritual podcast sphere that has to deal with churches wounding people.
Yeah.
Now listen, I get it. Are there abusive churches and abusive leaders out there? Absolutely. I would not deny that. And it happens way too often, too more than we would like to admit. Okay. But here's the thing I would say. Not everyone is a victim of the church. Yep. Okay. And I think you really need to understand it. Don't say that the church has harmed you. If someone someone who said something stupid to you one day, that's not the church.
Right.
That's an individual who probably is not walking with Jesus or is immature himself, and he said or she said something stupid to you. That's not, quote unquote, the church harming you.
Oh, dude, we are going to do a whole podcast on this. I am, you know, biting at the bit. How quickly do we blame the church?
Yeah.
It's a national pastime for believers right mm-hmm. now. And we all want to be this victim. We use these little cliche phrases like, I you know, organized religion has harmed me or whatever. Well, how's disorganized religion working for? I mean, it's so cliche, and it's, in my opinion, it's a bit pathetic as well.
Well, and I say all that to say, stop excusing
yes.
where you're at.
Own your condition.
And that's one of the things I think you've got to do is you've got to be honest with yourself.
Yep.
And chances are, yes, you where you are is because of a number of factors. It could be because, like we talked about, you had this great spiritual high and then you didn't know where to go after that. Mm-hmm. You had this great failure and you didn't know how to respond to that. Or someone might have said something harmful to you. I don't know. Or maybe you just kind of woke up one day and you're like, how did I stray so far from the path where I was on?
Yeah.
These things can happen, but be honest with yourself. Don't beat yourself up and don't blame shift. Those are the two things I think we need to be aware of that we do not do in these moments.
Excellent. You know, and we're going to have three episodes on this, mm-hmm. and the primary focus of this episode is, you know, how do we self-identify this state? But, you know, you're bringing up so many other good aspects of this, but I want to make sure we take enough time. What are some indicators? How can we self-diagnose? Look, I'm in a state of spiritual apathy. Let's put it on the bottom shelf, so to speak, and say, you know, if I'm experiencing these feelings or these characteristics, if I'm detaching from the local church, for instance,
I think that's a really big one, Dan. Yep. If you are sitting there and you're like, I don't go to church. I mean, again,
well, this is COVID related. How many people have found an excuse to detach from the church, and now that it's time to reattach, they've got a decision to make.
Yeah. And so there's been a number of people that have disconnected from a local church. And I mean, you and I both believe this, not just because we're pastors, but because we're followers of Jesus who know the Word of God and know what Jesus teaches. But the reality is, you are not going to be able to live the fullness of the Christian life. You're not going to be able to experience the fullness of the kingdom of Christ on your own. It's impossible.
The illustration I like to use is this. No one would think that a marriage that has the husband in one bedroom and the wife in another bedroom and the kids downstairs is a healthy relationship.
That's right.
It's a healthy family. And when you stop talking, when you stop engaging, when you stop interaction in a normal flow of your life, there's something broken in the relationship. So it is equally unhealthy when we consider ourselves spiritually, if we've detached ourselves, moved into the other bedroom from our church, church.
Yeah.
And say, yeah, I'm still part of the family, but I'm not speaking to them. I'm not engaging them. We're not sharing meals together. We're not going places together. And it is a sign of huge dysfunction. And we ought not spiritualize that and rationalize that as being okay and being normal.
Yeah. And almost, I guess I would classify, how do I know that I'm becoming, going a spiritual family? Because the only person you're thinking about is yourself.
Mm.
If you think about it,
excellent point.
You know, there's enough churches out there that you can hear a sermon on a Sunday from a video screen. I mean, we broadcast our services. You can listen to podcasts. You can do all kinds of things. You can take something from a local congregation and feel quote unquote fed, quote unquote, like, oh, I'm enjoying these things. There's nothing wrong with those things, but if you don't have a desire to engage, to serve, to commune with the other parts of the body of Christ, that means the only thing that matters in the world is you and your needs being met.
Yeah.
And I think that's a sure sign. If the only thing that you're evaluating is whether or not I feel good about life or not, you know, that's going to lead to a spiritual funk.
Yeah. We would say very clearly the person who goes into their bedroom every day and gets a bag of potato chips and a 2 liter of Mountain Dew, and at the end of the day, they've watched thousands of YouTube videos and eaten chips and soda is unhealthy. We would say that without any
socially,
hesitation.
Emotionally.
Unhealthy in every sense
health,
of the word.
Health respect.
The person who separates themselves from the body, and even though they're enjoying hearing the celebrity preacher of the month on a YouTube channel, or you know, they're using memes for their devotions or whatever, they're not engaging, they're not growing, they're not learning, they're not exercising, they're not fellowshipping, and they're going to become unhealthy and unbalanced.
So I would say a complete consumption with self and not any regard for anybody else. I think that's number one. I think number two would be you just have no desire to open up the Bible or to open up your heart in prayer. I think, you know, Bible reading and prayer is the two fundamentals of spiritual disciplines. And you and I have just got over with a preaching through a series on spiritual disciplines, which I think was, you know, one of my favorite sermon series I think we've done. But, you know, all of those things, we need to remember that there's always going to be times where you don't feel like doing it. It doesn't matter. But if you sense like, I just don't want to, or I just, you know, it goes to that indifference or ambivalence or complacency, whatever it is. But if you see yourself pulling away from spiritual disciplines or stopping spiritual disciplines, that's a sign, that's not a healthy sign. That's a sign that you're going in the wrong direction. And so, you know, if you list all the spiritual disciplines that we went over, from reading your word, praying, fasting, you know, serving, worship, all those things, when we pull ourselves away from the spiritual disciplines of life, we're going to dry up. It's just like a plant that doesn't get sunlight and water. Mm. And that's what happens to our soul when we stop practicing the spiritual disciplines.
Yep.
So
I have a couple. One of them, and this is true in my life too, is that I stopped caring about the impact of sin in my life.
Yeah.
In fact, I become quite comfortable with sin.
Yeah.
You know, and it's because it's too much work to go after it, or I don't take God seriously enough. I don't take my own sin and its ramification on myself and others seriously enough, but we just become casual. I was counseling a dude not long ago, and he was having an addiction problem with pornography. And he finally looked at me and goes, you know what? I just really don't even fight it anymore. He goes, I fought it and fought it, and I keep falling back. And I'm like, well, who's this really hurting? It's just, you know.
Mm.
And I thought, dude, you know, warning, Will Robinson, you got big problems in your life.
But, yeah, that's
you know,
a
there are
good
two
point.
Times when God judged Israel, and it was when every man did that which was right in their own eyes, and when sin ceased to be exceedingly sinful.
Mm.
And when those two things happened, God said, you know what? I'm going to go in and shake up the snow globe.
That's right. That's right.
So the other one that I think is when we allow, and this is kind of related, but it's different too, when we just simply allow the bad attitudes to take root.
Mm.
Here's the reality. Every marriage goes through flat spots.
Mm.
Every relationship has times when it's like, oh man, this relationship is the best one I've ever had. You know, this friendship is just so good for my soul. And then all of a sudden something happens, or we just become, you know, even in our own trajectory of our life or our career, you know, a lot of times for men, it's the 40s that they really struggle in. You know, when kids come into the family, marriages begin struggling because it's exhausting.
Right.
There are going to be, in your relationship with God, there are going to be times when we're tempted to pull over during a flat spot.
Mm-hmm.
And just soak there. So I think we need to be really, really careful about these attitudes, whether they're disillusionment or frustration with God or depression, and then just pull over and say, I'm just going to sit soak and sour in this moment.
Yeah, I could not agree more. I think one of the things that happens to people, you know, they do feel stuck. Mm-hmm. They do feel like this is just what has happened to me. And so, you know, one of the things that I know we're about almost out of time, but I keep going back to this one idea is you have to look honestly. You have to give an honest assessment with yourself. And I would even say this, you know, my big takeaway, honestly assess where you're at. And number two, ask someone for an honest assessment of you.
Mm.
Invite feedback. Mm. Invite someone who knows you well. Invite someone who you know loves you and will be honest with you and say, hey, what do you see when you see where I'm at? And whether it's your spouse, whether it's a good friend, and here's the one thing: if you don't have someone in your life like that, that's another danger Will Robinson mm-hmm. kind of moment to say, man, if I don't have anyone in my life that's even could even challenge me in this way, the chances of you getting into a spiritual funk and staying there is even greater. So anyways.
Indeed. All right. We've started this topic. Thank you so much for joining us as we've discussed these marks of spiritual apathy. We're going to continue in our next episode, how to overcome spiritual apathy. So we've identified it in our life. What next? And I hope you'll join us for that. Please, as always, share the news of Life Talks on your social media and anywhere else you can. And until next time, thanks for joining us as always on Life Talks.
You've been listening to Life Talks. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. Share this podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to let your friends and family know about Life Talks. We'd love to hear from you as well, so leave a comment and let us know your thoughts on this episode or any other topics we've discussed. Life Talks is a ministry of Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. For more information on Life Talks or Life Fellowship, visit lifecharlotte.com, or you can find us on Facebook at Life Fellowship Charlotte.